I mean that sincerely. So I brought my boo with me. Baby, just wave at the people. I brought my wife with me. Y'all say hello to my boo. So we just celebrated. We just celebrated our second anniversary. So we're going to get some candy when we leave, right? It wasn't this week, but it was this month. So brother going to want that candy when it's time to go. So I want you all to know something. Sometimes we go through seasons where we just try to make sense of it. You ever been there? And when I walked into this space, God began to say that I'm amongst the people that we going through something in this season. Who am I talking to? And I've been in a season myself where I've been trying to make sense of it. And we understand that this is a faith journey, right? That we walk by faith and not by sight. But we need to, as human beings, we have a need to make sense of things sometimes. Am I right about it? And I want you to understand, God wanted me, before I actually get into the word, God wanted me to just drop this in your spirit, that as human beings, if you're a parent, wave at me, okay? Most of us are parents in the house. If, as parents, when our children mature, when they grow, when they come of age, typically, there's exceptions to this rule, but typically, they become less dependent on us. Like I said, there's some exceptions to that. Because we got some grown babies like, hey, listen, huh? But there's exceptions to that rule, but as our children come of age, typically they become less dependent on us. Am I right about that? But the challenge is, that's not how it works in God. I knew y'all was going to be quiet right there because it don't quite make sense yet. What happens is when we grow as human beings in life, we become less dependent on our caretakers. But can I tell you, it works in the opposite when we grow in God. When we grow in God, we become more and more dependent on Him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, if left to ourselves, we won't depend on God to the level that He's calling us to. And so God has a way of using seasons and circumstances to get us to depend on Him in a greater way. I'm preaching already. And so I want you to understand, as you're going through seasons and circumstances, in that, know that God is saying, son or daughter, I want you to depend on me, yet even in a greater way. And so, Father God, as we prepare to break bread this morning, I thank you, Father God, that even in the midst of this season, one of the lessons that I hear you saying this morning is you are asking us as your sons and daughters, as your children, to depend on you even in a greater way. And so, Father God, here we are. We submit and surrender our hearts and our lives. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you keep that challenge before us in the day-to-day, in the struggle, whatever it may be, Father God, that we literally now practice leaning on you in such a greater way. We love you, Father God. We thank you for this day and this opportunity. Everybody that agreed with that prayer said, amen. Amen. Well, when I go to eat, how many people beside me you like to eat? So my stomach gonna start growling here shortly, all right? But I am an appetizer person. I've said for years that I wasn't a dessert person. Truth be told, in the last couple years, I discovered that I like appetizers and desserts. My wife will say, I said forever, I don't like sweets. It was because I didn't eat sweets. I have discovered in the last couple years, I actually like sweets, and I eat them a little bit now. But I'm really an appetizer person. So when I go to eat, I typically get an appetizer. And typically, prior to giving the word that God gave me, when I stand and have the opportunity to minister, I give some appetizers. Can I give you a couple appetizers on today? We're going to talk here momentarily about the process of bridging the gap. bridge the gap. That's what we'll speak to here. But I want to give you a couple appetizers prior to getting to that word. Number one, never underestimate the power of good deeds and well-planted seeds. Did you hear that? Never underestimate the power of good deeds and well-planted seeds. Appetizer number two, trash the societal template and trust God's truth and timing. Let me say that again, beloved. Trash the societal template. What happens in society is there's these molds that society tries to put all of us into. There's a box, there's a category, there's like this proverbial clock that's ticking that you're supposed to have done this by this age and this station in life. Have you ever been there? We begin to feel the pressure of this societal template, and God says, trash that and trust his truth and his timing. Appetizer number three. Your mindset will either be your prison or your passport. I want you to hear that. Your mindset will either be your prison or your passport. And so be very intentional about what you allow to occupy space and time in your mind. Am I right about that? Can I give you two more? There's a significant distinction between a decision and a commitment. I want you to listen. There's a significant distinction between a decision and a commitment. So years ago, my brother served 23 years. Anybody that served, I salute you. I so respect that. And so he served 23 years active duty, two tours, by the grace of God, came out whole, spirit, mind, and body on the other side. My brother's name is Vernon. Vernon called me. He was about 5 years into the service, and he said, hey, he wasn't even trying to be deep. He wasn't trying to bless me. He was just telling me what he'd been up to. And he said, hey, little bro, he said, I learned the difference between a decision and a commitment. So he's talking to me and telling me, and he said, hey, man, I don't know if I talked to you about this, but I always wanted to skydive. And I'm literally on the phone like, I ain't never seen no black folks skydiving, bro. What are you talking about? Like, they didn't change you in the service, bro. We wasn't talking about skydiving when we was kids. Can I just be honest? I'm like, bro, what are you talking about right now? Skydiving. So he said, I had decided, so you got to go, anybody ever? Nobody? So you have? Yes? No? So everybody in here saying, we ain't supposed to be jumping out of planes, right? So anyway, he tells me, he said, Tommy, you have to go through the training and the preparation, and then they send somebody with you, because you don't just jump out by yourself, you're actually strapped on somebody. And so he said, I had decided during the training to skydive. I made the decision. He said, the day comes, he gets in, he goes up, and he's going through all of that anxiety and stress. And he said, but when the trainer said, jump, he said, literally when I jumped, I understood at that point that I was committed. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. And I want you to understand something. Sometimes God asks us to do something, and we decide to do it, but we don't really commit. I want you to think about how many times you've made a decision that you haven't committed to. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study more. I'm going to eat healthier. Y'all ain't talking to me this morning. We make all of these decisions sometimes that we don't necessarily commit to. And what God is saying in this appetizer is, will you commit to the things that you've decided on for him? Will you actually jump? The last appetizer before we get to this word is, and I really want you all to hear this, because I sense that this is a body of doers and givers and goers. And I can't say this in every house that I step in, but y'all are about it, living and giving and sowing and planning and building. It's that spirit emanates in this space. God says that he ordained self-care. And so who are you to oppose it? Please hear this, beloved. God was the one that said, I'm going to create a day, a space, and a time for rest. God ordained self-care. Who are you to oppose it? Y'all all right?
No, we're not.
God in your business already? God in your business already, Pastor Jenny? Amen. Yeah, he was in my business with that one, too. I was like, okay, Daddy, let me get on out the way. Let me sit down sometimes. So I want to speak this morning from this thought, this concept of bridge the gap. Bridge the gap. Will you go with me on your devices, perhaps, or if you're like me, you still bring that actual Bible? Will you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? In your Bibles, on your devices. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 58. When you get it, say, got it. I'll give you some time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look now at verse 58. When you get it, say, got it. So in 1 Corinthians 15, looking at 58, it says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Let me say this to you again. It says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You know, one thing I hate, and yet it's inevitable in the human experience, is sometimes we waste our time. And as you begin to come of age, I didn't think so much about time in my teens or in my 20s, but, you know, you start to get up a little bit. And in my 50s now, time really matters. You can do a lot of things, but you can't waste my time. Because I understand much more today how precious it is. I want you to understand, you are not wasting your time when you are serving him. It matters. And so give yourself wholly and enthusiastic to that. Are you with me this morning? Bridge the gap. Anybody, by show of hands, know how they build bridges? Physically know how they build bridges. Well, I discovered this. It's actually been several years ago, but prior to this time, I didn't know myself. And I was in conversation with a friend of mine who's a builder, and we're standing and we're looking at his property, and he began to talk about they were building a bridge afar off. And we weren't even talking about the bridge. We were talking about his property, but he gave me some information about the bridge that really blessed me. And we're standing there talking. He says, Tommy, do you know how they build bridges? I said, no. How they build bridges, beloved, is they don't build a bridge from one side to the other. They build them simultaneously from both sides to the middle. Now, this is important because I want you to understand something. When God is saying for us that he wants us to be bridges, bridges require partnership. If I'm going to be a connector, a conduit, a bridge for folks to come in Christ or to get strengthened, come to Christ, rather, or to get strengthened in Christ, I'm not doing this as an individual or an island. That's the beauty of the local assembly and then us as individuals. We can actually use this space to bridge and build people's relationship in him. Am I right about that? And so when you think about now, a bridge, I want you to think about folks in your life that you can network with, folks in your life that you can create partnerships with. And don't just think inside the box, think outside the box. Ask God prayerfully, God, who are people in my world that I can connect with and collaborate with as I try to help folks that I have influence with and interaction with to come to know you in a greater way? Who are folks that can actually build from one side to the middle as you work from your side? And I want you to think about that strategically and prayerfully. So a bridge now, it speaks of a structure, a path, a crossway, a steady walkway. Some time ago, I was spending some time with a young person that I do some life coaching with. And we're sitting at the table, and he's especially emotional this day. And he was trying to thank me, but he was emotional. And he ultimately kind of got his emotions together. And what he said to me is, he said, "Tommy, I want to thank you for being steady." His word, not mine. It struck me because you don't typically hear young folks even use the word steady, right? But in his life, what he needed was, he didn't need something miraculous. Sometimes we're in this thing where we just feel like we got to do all of these acrobatics for God. We have this thing in us that we want to be impressive and show off. No, God is really much more into authenticity than he is acrobatics. Listen to what I'm saying, beloved. And what he needed was, he just needed a man to show up in his life and just sit with him from time to time. And he sat there full of emotion. He said, "Man, I just want to thank you for being steady. Just being present." Can I tell you something? One of the greatest ways God can use you to impact others is for you to simply be a steady presence in their life. And the crazy thing was, when he told me that, I felt like there was a lot of unsteadiness in my world and in my life. But yet for him, my presence created some steadiness for him. So don't wait until you get it together to try to start serving, because can I tell you something? For the most part, if we're really being honest, we ain't never going to have it all the way together. But I'm really being honest. Somebody say amen. Yes. Gifts, gifts, gifts. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look here at verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 12, looking here at verses 6 through 8. When you get it, say, "Got it." The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, looking at verses 6 through 8 through the New Living Translation. It says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." Repeat this after me. Say, "I have been gifted to do certain things well." Did you hear that? Beloved, you weren't gifted to do everything. You weren't ordained or called or purposed or designed to do everything. But something in our human nature like compels us to, like, we want to do it all. We have this thing about us as human beings. Sometimes we want to be everything for everybody. Have you ever been there? And God says, "No, stay in your lane and operate in the gift that I've actually given you." And there's freedom in that. Because you don't stress yourself out trying to be everything for everybody. And if you ain't saying amen right now, perhaps you don't do that. But I'm guilty of that sometimes. My boo is definitely guilty of that sometimes. Like, babe, I tell her all the time, "Baby, who told you that you had to carry that? Put that down. That's only built for God's shoulders. It's not built for your shoulders." Do you hear what I'm saying, beloved? And so the first part about operating in your gift is to understand your lane and the boundaries and the limitations in which God has called you to. And that's a beautiful thing because it's freeing. It creates this dependency on God and this appreciation then for your brother and sister who operates in gifts that you don't. You understand how needful it is that we tap into the body of Christ. So there's three aspects now referring to your gifts. We don't have to turn there, but there's also a scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 that actually talks about these particular gifts. I won't have you turn there, but you're taking notes, write that down. There's three particular things I want you to be mindful of when you think about your gifts. Number one, even if you are settled and established and seasoned in walking with the Lord, I would invite you to explore your gifts even in this season. explore the gifts that God has placed within you. Prayerfully ask God, God, what are the gifts that you've given me to be operating in specifically in this season? Some gifts come to the fore more so in other seasons than others. But we have to explore that. We have to experience them. You have to experience them. Any builders in the house, any carpenters in the house, any people like me that you're not good at it, but you just like to make a mess and just bang on stuff every now and again. I'm not, so it's a couple of us, right? You need something fixed, don't call me. Don't call me. But if you want somebody to just bang around and make some noise and we're going to have some fun, I'm your guy. You call me for that part, right? And here's the thing I love about tools. I'm not great with them, but I just love to experience them. They're fun. And gifts are like tools, but what happens is some of us really have never got into God's spiritual tool bag to really begin to experience what he's given to us. How many gifts are lying dormant in this space right now because we haven't truly tapped in and begin to experience them? And lastly, I'll tell you concerning gifts before we move to the next point, is to exercise those gifts, to actually utilize them. Don't wait for a position to release your passion. Being in ministry for many, many years, and I've had the opportunity to pastor and lead a church for 10 years plus and be on all kinds of other ministry rotations, and all of it has been incredibly fulfilling. Can I tell you the one thing that I have heard throughout the years, that people come to me and they say, Tommy, I believe God has called me to whatever they say. And they say, but I just need for that person to recognize it and identify it and release me. And can I tell you something? There's a role that leadership has in recognizing, validating, and identifying the gifts in the house. There's a role in that. But what I oftentimes say to them is, when God called me to minister, I didn't wait for a podium or a microphone. I began to minister in the spaces where I was. I was working with young people. I lived in a community full of people, and wherever I was an opportunity to minister. Remember, ministry at the end is service, right? So I don't necessarily need this platform to do what God has gifted me to do. Don't wait on people to begin to exercise your gifts. Begin to operate in them things in whatever space that you're in. And something that we really need to guard against in the body of Christ is this thing called atrophy. Atrophy. What happens, you're familiar with atrophy, wave at me. What happens with us as we come of age is we begin to naturally lose muscle mass, bone density, our metabolism begins to slow down. Like, it's not like we sign up for it, but it's just what happens when we, like, I don't want that. I didn't like, God, I don't want this stuff, but it happens as you come of age. And if you're not particularly intentional about using things, you begin to lose them. And what happens sometimes in the body of Christ is we get fed all of this wonderful word and all of this stuff, but we just sit with it. We don't exercise it. So we end up wasting something that has been really intentionally invested in our lives. Are you with me this morning? Somebody say assignments. Bridge the gap. GAP being an acronym, gifts, assignments, and purpose. Assignments. Assignment now, it speaks of young people. You just went back to class. Who just went back to class? Have you already been given a homework assignment yet? No. Not yet? Well, kind of. Kind of? Have you already been given an assignment yet? Yes, absolutely. So what happens in class is you always get assignments. It's an expectation. You understand when you come to class, we might not like it, but we understand the teacher's gonna say, okay, here, I got something for you to learn, I got something for you to do. Why is it that we're surprised when we come to God's class, God's school, God's laboratory? Why are we surprised when he has some assignments for us? Why are we looking at the pastor or the leaders like that's what they're supposed to do? Wait a minute, everybody in here get an assignment. Who told you you just need to come in here and sit? That's not how it works. Everybody that comes in here gets assignments. That's how God grows us. That's how God shapes and challenges us. So can I tell you something right now? If you're not operating currently in your assignment, you've just missed out on what the teacher was giving you. You have an assignment right now, and I want to ask you this question. Are you aware of it? If you had to right now write down on a piece of paper, you didn't have to share it, but if I say it for you, write down one of God's primary assignments in your life in this season, could you do it? You think God doesn't have an assignment for you right now? So are you aware of that assignment? Sometimes what we do is we self-assign. I don't know about you, but I remember I would be in class and the teacher would tell me to do certain things, and I was like, I don't really want to do that. That's really hard. I ain't got time for that. But I'm going to go focus on this. You ever do that? And so what I want you to be thinking about is, have you given yourself the assignment, or did that come from God? Because sometimes we'll just assign ourselves to a duty. And so does that assignment align with what God has given you? And we also have to understand that with every assignment, it accompanies attacks from the enemy. Did you hear what I said? Attacks from the enemy accompany the assignments from Daddy God. And the bad news is that's what it is. It won't change. But the good news is God gives us everything we need to overcome. But we have to be mindful and be ready when the attack comes. One of the things that surprises me, if I can be very honest, I am surprised when children of God are surprised that they're being attacked. I'm surprised that you're surprised. I mean that sincerely. And I'm not saying that in a haughty or judgmental way, but what comes with this life is there will be attacks from the enemy, very strategic attacks from the enemy. And we have to know how to identify and then how to combat them. And what we have a tendency to do in our human nature is we kind of want to fuss and fight in the way that we fuss and fight. My wife and I have something in common. We both were raised in ways that we had to know how to advocate for ourselves. I'm saying that very diplomatically. Right? What I'm saying is we come from environments and spaces where if somebody needed to be told that Tommy and Jessica were going to be one of the ones that were going to do it. So we get into a marriage, and what naturally happens when attacks come, if you're not careful, we'll begin to look at each other. And that's strategic of the enemy. Strain comes, challenge comes, stress comes, division comes. And if you're not careful, what you'll begin to do, instead of looking to God for wisdom and humility and power and strength and steadiness and all of those things, we'll begin to focus on the faults and falls of our brothers and sisters. Well, if you just did this better, if y'all ain't talking to me, I know I'm in your business right now, though. I learned something that blessed me about eagles. I love eagles. I could talk about them all day. Let me give you just a little tidbit. Eagles, when they hunt and they come down and they scoop up the prey with their talons and they begin to ascend, as lesser birds come, namely vultures, to try to steal their prey, eagles don't have the neck strength to be able to fight off the vulture while ascending with its prey. They literally don't have, as strong as they are and majestic as they are, they don't have the neck strength to do those things simultaneously. So what an eagle does is an eagle literally locks its wings. And when an eagle locks its wings, it actually flies to a greater altitude. And whereas the eagle doesn't have the strength to fight off the vulture while ascending with its prey, the vulture doesn't have the capacity to fly at the same altitude as the eagle. So what I want you to understand is sometimes when we're going through attacks, we have to know, beloved, how to lock our wings, how to really get focused in God and stop fussing at our brothers and sisters and concentrating on small things. Baby, I need to lock my wings and just live at a different level. I know higher is harder, but that's what's called for when we're really going through. Are you with me this morning? What is an assignment? It's an allocation of a job or a task. It's a piece of work given or delegated. It's a part of a project or a course. It's a task or post to which someone has been appointed. I share that to ask you again, go to God and ask, if you don't know, you don't have clarity, what is his assignment in your life in this current season? Give me 5 minutes and I'm going to close. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Go on your Bibles, on your devices. When you get it, say, got it. Proverbs 19, one scripture here. I'll read it in a few different versions because I really want us to hear this. Proverbs 19, looking at verse 21. Sweetheart, can I give you an assignment? When I am ministering from now on, please don't let me forget my readers. I know you have a lot of assignments. Can that be help me? Because the brothers up here are like, Lord, if you don't help me see this, it will not be solved. I am up here constant, like, woof, Jesus. Proverbs 19, verse 21, I think. It says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Did you hear that? You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. In another version, it says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So when you think about purpose, I'm not asking you to consider your self-imposed, produced, manufactured plan. And if you're not careful, it will be difficult for you to distinguish the two sometimes. Have you ever had someone come to you and tell you that God told them to do something or something was going to happen, and you believe with all of your heart that that wasn't from God? It happens. Tommy, God said that I was supposed to go to Ghana and raise up this wonderful mission. And I'm like, in my mind, like, okay. You ain't did no work on the block that you live. You ain't busy at school, you ain't busy at work, but you gonna go all the way to Ghana. Maybe not in this season, right? What I want you to do is I want you not to, what we have a tendency to do is we manufacture this plan and then we go to God and say, God bless it. And we interpret sometimes God's goodness as God's approval, and it's not the same. Listen to what I just said. We're parents of four. We got a 26, a 23, a 20, and a 15 who think she 26, but she 15. She's 15, right? But they have all of these plans. Mom and dad, I'm like, mm-hmm. It sounds wonderful. Like you excited and thought about it and then save you a couple little nickels together. Now you're ready. But we understand that all of them plans don't necessarily align with God's greater purpose. And I wonder, you know, God has a wonderful sense of humor. We actually get a good laugh sometimes at listening to some of the plan. We're not dream killers. So we're not going to say, that's a horrible idea right now, son. Like, daughter, where you get that idea? Like, we're not dream killers, right? We know how to love them through and help coach and counsel, and we know how to do that. But can you imagine how God gets a laugh at us presenting some of our plans to him? When you consider God's purpose, I want you to think about three things. Do you have clarity about it? Is it clear? Is it clear? Do you have clarity about God's purpose for your life? Do you have an ability to cleanse yourself of all of the clutter? Anybody beside me, you have a little bit of OCD? I didn't ask you for that feedback right there, sweetheart. Listen, brother got OCD bad. Like I clean and straighten, like it's ridiculous. I drive myself crazy sometimes. I'm being honest. I drive myself crazy sometimes, right? Here's the thing, though. I have a real disdain for clutter. Like it bothers me. And I happen to believe, now my wife is a demonstration that this is not always true. But I have this thing that however you keep the spaces you frequent, that's a reflection of how your space is internally. I believe that, but I know that's not always true, okay? But for me, my external space oftentimes is a reflection of what's happening in me internally. And so if everything in my external space, I don't have any type of order to it, and I'm a little ridiculous. I got to have a remote sitting like at this angle. That's a little extra. That's a little extra. I get it. Sometimes the kids, they'll just move a pillow just one way like that. Let me see how long it take Dad to figure out how I move that. Like, let me keep him busy this afternoon. I'll be like, y'all stop playing with me. I'm not talking about foolish, petty things that sometimes we get into as human beings. I'm talking about things that really can cause clutter mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Sometimes it's unhealed stuff. It's unresolved stuff. It's stuff that we're holding on to. And so it's very difficult for God to have this clean, clear connection with us internally when we have all of this internal clutter. Will you ask God to help you cleanse of all of life's clutter? Would you ask God to make you aware of it? Last, if we're truly going to operate in God's greater purpose, we have to get clarity. We have to declutter. And then we have to, say this with me, stay close to Daddy God. You know, in the world that we live in, our sanity, our direction, the keeping of our soul, our life direction, it requires us to stay close. It requires us to stay close. And sometimes we struggle to a greater degree than we ought to, not because we shouldn't struggle, because that's a part of the human experience. But sometimes we struggle to a greater degree than we ought to because we're just not close enough to the daddy. We're not close enough. Our oldest daughter has always had a real fear of storms. I'm talking about rain, and don't let them say that a tornado coming, good Lord. So she just started grad school at the University of New Orleans, and she spent her first couple years at the University of Minnesota, then she transferred to the University of New Orleans. Well, she's a Midwest kid. Didn't know anything about hurricanes. So they're having a team meeting, and besides her and one other teammate who actually came from our daughter's obviously from Des Moines, and the other young lady's from Urbandale. So they make this announcement to the team that, hey, I forget what, you remember what hurricane that was? Hurricane something is coming, and this is what we need to do. Well, Justice, that's our daughter's name, she panics. And I'm actually doing a training, and my phone rings like 10 times, and it's her. And I'm training, so I can't take the call. But long story short, when I took a break and I called, baby girl, are you good? What's going on? Dad, they said it's going to be a hurricane. So the hurricane didn't come. Thank God it didn't come. But they had to evacuate and do all of the. Here's the thing that so blesses me. What she has learned from being an itty bitty was, when I'm afraid, I need to get close to my dad. No matter what's going on, I need to get close to my dad. She was home recently, and I said to her, I said, baby girl, are you ever going to outgrow that? She was like, I don't think so. And can I be honest with you? I really don't want her to. Close your Bibles. Open your hearts. So as I've shared this word on this morning, gave us some appetizers, and then this word specifically bridged the gap, speaking specifically to the gifts, the assignments, and God's greater purpose, I ask you this morning, was there something in particular that landed, that compelled you, that challenged you, and you heard God saying, son or daughter, I'm asking this of you. I'm calling you to do this. I'm challenging you to do that. Or perhaps you're in this building and the heaviness of this season, you find it overwhelming. And so I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to pray specifically for two things. Number one, this word ignited something in you by way of a gift and assignment or purpose, and I want to agree with that. But number two, you are in a season that is incredibly tough and heavy. And even though I said at the outset that God, the way God grows us is to get us to a space where we depend more on him, that is one of the most difficult lessons to live. And so, Father God, here we are in your presence. First and foremost, Father God, for those of us who are going through it, and this season of life is heavy, it's hard. It's painful. It's stressful. It's traumatic. It's grievous. Father God, I pray that you would, as you always do, meet us right in the midst of it. Allow us to know, Father God, how ever-present you are. And we understand that your word says that you're ever present in this time of trouble. We understand what those words say, but Father God, we need to feel that and experience that in a real and personal way. And so show up for us, God, like only you can. In the toughest moments that we deal with in our days, Father God, meet us in those spaces and meet that darkness, Father God, with light. Meet that pain, Father God, with peace. And give us the strength and courage, Father God, to keep putting one foot in front of the other and trusting and depending on you. And then for those, Father God, that this word ignited something for them by way of their gifts, by way of their assignments or their purpose, I ask, Father God, that you give clarity. That you give clarity so we know, Father God, without a shadow of a doubt, what you're asking of us. But then I ask that you would embolden us, Father God, to even in areas where we aren't completely clear, that we would begin to step out and practice and exercise that thing. You've given us grace, Father God, to grow into gifts. And so help us, Father God, to access that. We love you, Father God. I thank you for everything that you are doing, Father God, in the midst of all of the transition in this house. Pastor Jenny, I hear God saying that God will utilize this transition to create great transformation. I want you to hear that. God will utilize this transition to create great transformation. And God says that you trust that and you walk in that. We love you, Father God. In Jesus' precious and holy name, can you say amen? Amen.